An engagement is so potent a thing that sooner or later it reduces all who speak of it to this state of cheerful awe. So it was that after the misgivings of the afternoon, they settled down to a very pleasant tea party. Mr. Beebe chirruped. Freddy was at his wittiest, referring to Cecil as the fiasco, family-honoured pun on fiancé. Mrs. Honeychurch, amusing and portly, promised well as a mother-in-law. As for Lucy and Cecil, they also joined in the merry ritual, but waited, as earnest worshippers should, for the disclosure of some holier shrine of joy. A few days after the engagement was announced, Mrs. Honeychurch made Lucy and her fiasco come to a little garden party in the neighbourhood, for naturally she wanted to show people that her daughter was marrying a presentable man. People congratulated Mrs. Honeychurch, which is, I believe, a social blunder, but it pleased her, and she introduced Cecil rather indiscriminately to some stuffy dowagers. "Do you get a much of this sort of thing?" he asked when they were driving home. "Oh, now and then," said Lucy, who'd rather enjoyed herself.
"Is it typical of country society?"
"I suppose so. Mother, would it be?" "Plenty of society," said Mrs. Honeychurch. Cecil bent towards Lucy and said,
"To me, it seemed perfectly appalling, disastrous, portentous. It is so disgusting the way an engagement is regarded as public property. All those old women smirking.
One has to go through it, I suppose.
But my point is that their whole attitude is wrong. An engagement, horrid word in the first place, is a private matter and should be treated as such."
"How tiresome," she said. "Couldn't you have escaped to tennis?"
"I don't play tennis, at least not in public. The neighbourhood is deprived of the romance of me being athletic. Such romance as I have is that of the Inglese Italianato."
"Inglese Italianato?"
"È un diavolo incarnato. You know the proverb?" She did not. Nor did it seem applicable to a young man who had spent a quiet winter in Rome with his mother. But Cecil, since his engagement, had taken to effect a cosmopolitan naughtiness which he was far from possessing.
"Well," said he, "I cannot help it if they do disapprove of me. There are certain irremovable barriers between myself and them, and I must accept them."
"We all have our limitations, I suppose," said wise Lucy.
"Sometimes they are forced on us, though," said Cecil, who saw from her remark that she did not quite understand his position.
"How?"
"It makes a difference, doesn't it, whether we fully fence ourselves in, or whether we are fenced out by the barriers of others?" She thought a moment and agreed that it did make a difference.
"Difference?" cried Mrs. Honeychurch, suddenly alert. "I don't see any difference. Fences are fences."
"We were speaking of motives," said Cecil, on whom the interruption jarred.
"We weren't talking of real fences," said Lucy, laughing. "Oh, I see, dear. Poetry." She leant placidly back. "I tell you who has no fences, as you call them," Lucy said, "and that's Mr. Beebe."
"A parson fenceless would mean a parson defenceless."
Lucy missed Cecil's epigram, but grasped the feeling that prompted it. "Don't you like Mr. Beebe?" she asked thoughtfully.
"I never said so," he cried.
"Now, a clergyman that I do hate," said she, wanting to say something sympathetic, "a clergyman that does have fences, and the most dreadful ones, is Mr. Eager, the English chaplain at Florence. He was a snob and so conceited, and he did say such unkind things."
"What sort of things?"
"There was an old man at the Bertolini whom he said had murdered his wife."
"Perhaps he had."
"No."
"Why no?"
"He was such a nice old man, I'm sure." Cecil laughed at her feminine inconsequence. "Well, I did try to sift the thing. Mr. Eager would never come to the point. He prefers it vague, said the old man had
secretly murdered his wife, had murdered her in the sight of God.
Hush, dear, said Mrs. Honeychurch absently.
But isn't it intolerable that a person whom we're told to imitate should go around spreading slander? It was, I believe, chiefly owing to him that the old man was dropped.
Poor old man. What was his name?
Harris, said Lucy glibly.
Isn't Mr. Eager a parson of the cultured type? Cecil asked.
I hate him. I've heard him lecture on Giotto. Nothing can hide a petty nature. I hate him.
My goodness gracious me, child, said Mrs. Honeychurch. I forbid you and Cecil to hate any more clergymen.